Come along with us as we discuss our heritage for our legacies.
Welcome to our journey. Good evening, everybody. This is Michael.
Key.
And today is Sunday, February the 5th, 2023, and our God still reigns. So today we had a great sermon from Haggai 1. God didn't suggest or ask them to build his temple. He pretty much told them to do it. And he told them what to do each step of the way. Then Keith also discussed a little more about Isaiah 117, the Isaiah 117 house. You want to add any more on that?
Well, we haven't explained that to during the podcast.
Right.
It's happened this week.
Right.
Elizabeth was at work and it was presented to their foundation there at the power company down in Baker County, Florida, to support the Isaiah 117 house for Baker County that is in the construction phase, which is one of the last steps before it goes fully functional. But the Isaiah 117 house started up in Elizabethton, Tennessee. And a family felt the call. Now, if you want to check it out, go to their website, to their Facebook.
It's on our journey.
Yeah, you can follow them through us. I've already posted it, but we'll do the link again to the Mike Rowe show where he goes in and they support her because somebody nominated her for giving back. So Elizabeth found out about it. She called me, texted me, said, go check out this website. And I did. And when I did, it just... So many things over the years that have come into my spirit, into my brain, into my heart, whatever, about the foster care, adoptive agencies in our country. And I think our eyes right here have been opened up because of Minette and her job. And we see the need. But that's how this ministry was birthed back in, I think it started in 2015, is when she really started feeling the call, 14. But it's a house. It's available to the social care system. When they have to go in and remove kids from their situation, this is the first place that they can go to. The house has bedrooms, has bathrooms, has kitchen, has living room. It functions as a home, however temporary it may be.
Right.
If it's a few hours or a few days. But
it gives them a place to stay where they can feel at home as much as possible.
Yes. It shows them love. Care. Her probably the strongest word she uses is dignity. They may not have ever experienced any of these things in their situation, but they get to. So anyway, we've contacted them. We're awaiting them to respond back to us to start the process.
Right.
It is a lengthy process because it is training the volunteers that are needed. They get trained. Resources are secured. The community is brought in and is made sure that the community's behind this.
Right.
So we've started the process with that, but it It's just so needed. And we're going to do all that we can. And I would rather partner up with somebody that's already in the business of doing this than try to go out and reinvent the wheel and figure out how to do it.
Right. Well, some of y'all might be asking where David's at. He's under the weather right now. He don't feel real good. So remember him in your prayers. And I'm sure we'll touch a little bit more on what Keith's talking about here with the Isaiah 1:17 house. But today's guest is a woman of God that never gave up on me when everyone else may have thought that I was a lost cause. My mama, Marie DeLoach. Welcome, Mom. When I ask you to come on the show, you know, a little bit earlier today, because we like to do it in a hurry. when I ask you to come on to the show, what was your response to me? You remember what you texted me?
Yeah, what I've learned this week. Now, I can't, but me and God can.
There you go. That's what I was looking for. That was her answer to me. And we know that this coming onto the podcast, you know, it seems a little scary to some and intimidating, but we hope that, or we pray that as you get to talking here, you'll figure out that it's just a conversation. Starting off with a question that we ask all of our guests in this season, what is a Bible verse that is on your heart that comforts you and why?
Well, I happen to have one of the most important ones in my hand because I had it with me this morning when Keith was preaching. And we didn't sing, but in my heart I was singing this song. But it's a scripture, and it's 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. And I thank him for this season of my life. And there's another scripture that I noticed that keeps coming up when my seasons start changing.
Right.
And that is, call to me, and I will show you great and mighty things. And when that scripture comes to my mind, I know something's coming.
Yeah.
I mean, that season is changing.
Yeah.
That I was in. And when I come in here this morning, and Keith was teaching on this, I just said, God, you are so good. And he proved himself, you know.
Right.
And that's what's so good about him.
Yep.
Is he's there with us. He takes us where he wants us to be.
That's right.
We allow him.
We ask for it. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. If we ask this, if you could talk to every great-grandchild, great-great-grandchild.
Great-great-great-great-great-grandchild.
That you'll never see. What would you say to them?
One of the things Mama used to tell me, seek ye first the kingdom of God in his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And I kept wanting to know what that all these things is. He's continuing show me what all these things are.
Yeah.
And as we seek him, he does. And and that's what I would love for every one of my children and grandchildren and their children, to seek him and know him.
And you saying that, it's been a recurring theme. The message may be a little different, the scripture may be a little different, but it all goes back to what's been instilled into y'all's generation from grandma. And then, our generation, the grandchildren, we remember grandma saying the same things. And then now what's neat is, even though some of us, all of us, haven't followed the path that God's had us on, our mamas have still said, hey, remember this. And then it's getting to a point now where we're saying that to our kids.
Yeah, mm-hmm. For sure.
And that's what's neat about this whole generational thing that we've embraced, that's scriptural.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to pour in to our legacies so that
it carries on.
It carries on. Yes. Because if we don't, we lose it.
Well, it's just like you was talking about this morning. One kid in the church, we need to have more kids in church.
Yeah.
So we can build upon that. And, it's anyway.
Yeah.
The next question I got, Mama, is what is a story about the farm or something that happened on the farm that you remembered that you'd like to share? Whether it was when you were a kid or later in life, or what's a memory that holds tight to you that you can always go back to and remember something about the farm?
When we were talking, me and Cindy was texting back to the other day, and I was thinking of the times that Mom and Daddy, I'm quite sure they knew what we were doing, but we thought we were getting away with a lot. And just the building, we'd go and get Daddy's hammers and nails and string, tobacco string, and we'd fix us a house. And we'd take that string in the backyard, cedar tree, and all those other trees that were around. And we'd make our bedrooms, and, we just were having things to do on the, when we wasn't working. And we were younger. And then with the hammer and nails, he would take, and we hammered the boards onto the tree, the cedar tree. And we'd hammer them on. We'd climb up and hammer another one on another board. We had our stairs up in the tree. And there was, Daddy let us do things like that. And he didn't get angry with us unless we didn't put the hammer back where it was supposed to be, or the nails, And he was letting us learn how to do. And we thought of him as a harsh man because he had to be with all of us.
Stern.
Yes. And then when we got through building up there, we'd come back down and we'd go sneak an egg out of the hen house, mix up us a cake, put it in a tin can, flip it over, and we got us a dirt cake.
Right.
We You know, just things like that. It was, we were learning, you know, even though we wasn't supposed to be stealing the eggs out of the hen house. But it was fun, and we had to have things to do, and Mom and Daddy knew that, and they allowed it, you know. It was a fun time.
Right.
So, when we wasn't.
So we really wouldn't want to eat what you first learned how to cook.
No. It wasn't.
I gotta
cooked.
Share this. It's kind of comical, but it wasn't at the time, especially to me. Now looking back on it, and it involves Aunt Ree, I was sheltered. I couldn't ride the motorcycles. I sure couldn't be on the lawnmower being pulled behind the motorcycles. And, my mom and daddy, that was off limits. So the best I could do is sit on the motorcycle when it wasn't running. And one day I was doing it out under the shelter where the tractors were. And I got it off balance. Well, it fell over onto a plow. Well, my leg was between the motorcycle and the plow. And the plow went in my leg right next to my shin. Well, it cut pretty deep and about 2 inches long. Well, I don't think Aunt Ree had made it out to the farm yet. And I can't remember if it was Aunt Donna and Aunt Cindy and Grandma was tending to me. But one of them said, Marie will know what to do. She's on her way. Well, we bandaged it up. Well, I sure wasn't going to the hospital, to the ER, because my mom and daddy would have had a fit over that. But we got it bandaged up, and I still have the big scar to remind me of what happened. But it's humorous now looking back, because Aunt Marie wasn't a nurse. She wasn't a doctor. I don't know why the rest of them said...
She had plenty of practice.
but they said, she's on her way. Yeah. And I sat right there, and she got there, and she doctored it up for me.
Well, she was in child care back then, too.
Well.
She kept a lot of babies.
I did.
She did a good job. Kept me from probably getting in more trouble than I would have.
Okay.
What is a special memory Grandma Bowen that you hold dear to you?
I'll try. Her hands.
Yep.
And when she would, one time I was, I guess I was in my teens, I passed out. I had went out to get Mama to button my skirt or my shirt or something, and I passed out. Well, when I woke up, her hands were, you know, water just patting me all over my face, and that I will always remember. And used to, when I would get sick, I would say, oh, if I could just feel Mama's hand pat me, you know,
yeah.
Cooling me, you know, and that comfort. It was a comfort.
Right.
And I think about her always, you know, with that, thinking about, she was a good mama. She was a precious mama to all of us. Oh, how patient she was with us.
Yeah.
Because we were a handful. But we loved each other. We didn't like each other a lot of times. And she was very patient with us to teach us how one day, she would always say, one day you'll understand.
I heard a lot of that phrase myself. Yeah. With me and Evan. So one day you'll understand.
Yeah.
But same question about Grandpa.
He was a gruff fella. I loved him, and I love him still, and I still have memories of him. We'd be out in the tobacco patch, and it'd start raining. Oh, we wanted to go to the house so bad. And it was storming. I mean, lightning flashing, you know. And he would be right there sitting in the middle of that tobacco harvester. And all of us scrunched around him, you know. And he was protecting us. You know, he was there with us. He wasn't letting us have to be out there by ourselves.
Right.
And he could have. But that was one of the things. He was... He wasn't too much on that us moving when he'd say, all right, I want you to stand right here and don't let that hog go past you. And, I mean, we would be all strung out, you know, trying to keep those hogs from coming around. We wanted them to go into the pen. We was trying to direct them to the pen.
Toward the fence.
Oh, my goodness. Soon as that hog would come toward me, I could not stand it. I have to move. Oh, he would get so angry. But after I got up older, I understood. And he was a good daddy.
Well, that goes along with the next question.
On the farm, what were some of the jobs that you were tasked with?
As a child?
Because we know, I mean, we just talked about the tobacco patch and we've...
And she was the fence for the hogs. Yeah. And
because I think today we're so far removed from that time.
Mm-hmm.
From even when we were on the farm as grandchildren. And we know Grandpa treated us a little different than he did the children because we hear the stories. but.
Sometimes.
But what were some of the jobs as children y'all did?
The hoeing, you know, that's tobacco, hoeing and suckering and all that. We did that. But we had to get out and do the garden hoeing, and we had to pick it and pick the greens and pull the weeds. And we made it a game most of the time.
Right.
Yeah, you had
picking
to
at each other.
Make it a competition.
Yeah. And I don't know how to say it, but Cindy was right out front with all of her mischief. And we talked about that, and I would hide mine. I'd not let Daddy and Mama see me doing it. And that was just as bad as being right up front, you know. But anyway, we did a lot of taking off tobacco and corn. When Daddy had that corn picker that pulled behind the tractor, we had to pick up the ears of corn that didn't make it to the
wagon.
And the timber, I remember one time helping Daddy with the boom, putting timber on the truck or
on a trailer or something.
Right down here. Sawdust pile.
Down toward the pond?
Yeah. But we did that after school. me and Terry and Cindy, I think.
Well, to have that, that must have been one of them times where he was repairing one of the barns or building something.
Yeah.
To have a sawmill on the site, that's usually when they would repair the barn or either build one.
So, I thought of that.
So you said something about the corn picker, and you know that, you know where that corn picker's at?
No.
Over by the water hole. It's sitting right on the corner of my property, Aunt Cindy's property now that Uncle Tommy had, which used to be Uncle Bud.
Yeah.
And Grandpa. There was a story that I've heard about that corn picker. And Uncle Bud and Grandpa didn't get along very well when it come to that corn picker.
Well, no, not just the corn picker. Well, the property line got moved. And so Grandpa put the corn picker on the property line and said it would rust into the ground before he moved it, is the story I heard.
Yeah.
And there may have been some other things said, but that's where the corn picker was.
It's still there.
Yeah, the parts are still there.
It's still there.
We used to play on it.
Yeah. And it will never move. It'll be right there. As long as it's still on my side of the property, it'll still be there. But it's right down there at the, if you ride down to the water hole, you'll see it.
Yeah.
The irrigation pit, I guess, is over behind Aunt Cindy's house.
Well, that, what we've been reading in the Exodus.
Yes.
Our, the children of Israel, they're grumbling and complaining. Well, that brought back lots of memories of when we would have to get out and do some things, we'd grumble and complain. And I know Mama got tired of hearing, you know, doing that, because I was thinking how awful it would be to have to hear what those children of Israel were saying. God just kept on, and he kept loving them.
Yeah.
Kept loving them. And doing for him, and he threatened him, you know. But
mm-hmm.
Moses begged him,
build an altar.
Yes,
build it up so you can remember this place.
Yes.
And what was going on when you were at this place. And the crazy part was, we see it time and again through the scripture where they forget about it, even though they're standing there looking at it, going, you know,
just like us,
just like, and that's been the thing that when I read the scripture, there's not things in the scripture, like, you know, when you're growing up, you think, oh, it's so different. The older you get, the more you realize, yeah, there's a lot of differences between now and 4,000 or 5,000 years ago. But there's a lot of similarities.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and we're still doing the same stupid things that those people were doing back then, just in a different manner.
Right.
And that's what has bared down on me this week is, God, please,
mm-hmm.
help me to let Jesus come in and renew this life of mine, that I will not have this grumbling and complaining. It really hurt me to think about, to see and read how awful they were. You know, before they could even get their feet out of the Red Sea, they were grumbling and complaining about not having any good drink to drink, you know? And Lord, help me to just be a better.
So, when you mentioned Exodus a while ago, you looked up at Keith to say that where y'all been following along. So, are you following the same Bible study that Julie's got going on right now?
Yes.
Okay. Y'all, can you or Keith explain what y'all are doing? And I am doing it. I'm just in a different group. I didn't start till this week. And no, I'm not going to try to catch up.
No.
But every morning when I'm going to work, I'm tuning in and I'm listening to the word as I go to work. And then I listen to the recaps when I'm sitting in the parking lot at work. But if you would.
Well, Julie that. Started last year, and the way, I think the way she did it was a little more complicated than it is now. Because now the Bible app actually has the reading plan that Tara Lee Cobble does.
Right. But Julie's using a different version of the Bible app than what me and you do. It's in several different ones, right?
Well, there's, yes. But what I'm saying is where she's at is where I'm at. She's using the same, it's Tara Lee Cobble, and it's called Bible Recap.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And last year, what Julie had to do was she went to an app on the computer and she would put in the scriptures and she'd have to plan it out. Well, now you don't have to. You can go to the Bible app and go look for the Bible recap and it's there.
Right.
And then the second step to that is she does a commentary and you can go to YouTube and see that for every day. And they match up. But Julie's took it one step further. And this is the part that I like. She created a Facebook group called Journey Together.
How about that?
And in that, she has gone local.
Yep.
People in our community, in our sphere, they have joined the group. And they're doing it, same thing, Bible recap. And then they're going to that group and posting comments and questions and
what it means to me.
And it was a challenge for me because I had intentions and then things popped up. And so then I said, you know, the challenge isn't so much to read, to listen. And I started thinking, wait a second, I listen to this, I watch this, I do this. And so during the day, I just started doing multiple days. And in the past, I had tried to do that and would get ahead. And then it would tell me you're 4 days, you're 6 days, you're 10 days ahead. Well, then guess what? I'd stop. Well, then it'd be 3 weeks later, and I'd pick back up, and I was 14 days behind. Well, I figured out a little thing this week where you can hit catch up after you've read ahead or listened ahead, and it puts you on track. So yesterday, I caught back up to Julie, and it's for accountability. It's for the ability to be a part of that group and communicate and be on the same page. And that's kind of what I was talking about in church this morning is too many times in church we go in and we get split up as a family, mm-hmm. as a family unit. And then through the week, we're running in 75 different directions. And
Division,
and we can't even get together in the church. And so I started, that was my thought process behind saying, I'm going to catch up.
Right.
I'm going to get on the same point to where when I look on my Facebook group, I'm on today 35, 36, with them. I'm listening to the commentary on it. Because then that way, I'm a part of it.
Right.
And so that's what's been neat about this, you know, with Julie. And so then the funny part was I was on the phone with Christy yesterday and I was telling her about it. She goes, oh, I'm doing my own yearly Bible reading. And I said, well, it's okay. I mean, I'm doing mine, but it's the Bible recap. And it, you just go on your Bible app and go to
the plan.
Reading plans and put in Bible recap and it pops it up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then she called me back. She said, we're going to do that. She said, I thought it was so difficult because of the way Julie had described it with having to put in the scriptures and it read back to you. I said, no, that was last year.
They
updated it and now they have it all. And so, you know, it's something that simple. I only wish Grandma and Grandpa could have experienced what we're experiencing now, because you know who would have been the biggest cheerleader? Grandma Pullen would have been telling everybody about it.
Right.
So, you know, that's one thing that I'm excited about is, you know, Julie felt this urge to include people. And it's not just in a group to talk about stuff. It's reading the word, encouraging. And the more we read the word together as a group, we don't have to be reading the same. It helps.
Yeah.
It helps conversation. If me and Michael just read Job 1-4, you know, it does. But if what I've found out, though, is if Michael was reading over in Exodus and I'm reading over in Malachi and we sit down to have breakfast, guess what? We're going to talk about something in there.
Yeah, something.
Yeah.
And that's the cool part. So, I challenge you, it doesn't matter. All of those plans will start at day one.
What's her name again?
Tara Lee Cobble.
Tara Lee Cobble. And
L-E-I-G-H.
L-E-I-G-H.
And it's the Bible recap, and you can find it in the Bible app if you go down at the bottom and hit plan and type in Bible recap, and you can bring it up. I mean, I've got it all downloaded now, but what are you getting out of it, Mom?
The main thing is I've been, I like to listen to the younger girls, Emma Grace.
Mm-hmm.
Every once in a while, she'll put something on there and it just touches me. And it brings
joy,
lots of joy, because I can just hear her grandpa. Terry.
Yeah.
Because she can sound like him a lot.
Yeah.
And it just does something for me, just for these young people, you know, to read theirs and to see that they are following after the Lord. You know, they're hungry and they're seeking. And they have a good time, you know.
Right.
And they still love the Lord.
You can have a good time. And not worried about what everybody else is
thinking. Yes, yes. And that is wonderful to me.
So, I got another question here, and it's faith. What does that word mean to you, and where did you get your faith from?
My father's.
I mean, it's a strong word, faith is.
Faith to hold on. Came from my mama, mostly.
Yeah.
And then, as I started learning, reading the word, all of that my mama taught me, I heard lots of it in church, but, you know, we were with Mama every day, and she taught us the Word of God through what she did with her hands and her mouth. And she was, I say I get it from her, because Jesus Christ is in me because of her. Oh, she did not give up on me. And she didn't give up on any of us.
Right.
She stayed on her knees. Lots and lot of times she couldn't get on her knees. She had to just do it all day long. And speaking it in her mind, I'm quite sure. And Jesus Christ, through her, how I got my faith.
Yeah.
Trust God. Believe in Him.
Well, I know that you, back when I was living in Nichols and, you know, we had just had the boys and we wasn't really able to get out much and go around if we had Pierce as a baby and then and Coy would want to go do and you would drive all the way up there, pick him up. And then it got to be where it was where Robin kept saying, "You reckon your mama's coming this weekend?" And sure enough, in about 10, 15 minutes, she'd show up because, I mean, it was right. I mean, we had cell phones. And we could connect with her, but coming through the backwoods from Blackshear to Nichols, you didn't have no service. So, you know, I remember times when me and you would talk. But then there was times that I was out of my mind. And I wasn't always listening to you. I was hearing you, and I was, but I wasn't feeling what you were trying to get through. But now I can see that there were times where it wasn't just you praying, it was Grandma praying with you and this church praying for me. But y'all never give up. And that means something now. And I guess I'm having to play catch up, not just in my Bible reading, but playing catch up in life, well, in my journey, in my faith. And, well, he sent me down, or he didn't send me. I had my free will, and I did what Michael wanted to do. But I understand some of the paths that he led me down in order to, you know, meet different people and be learn how to speak to different people and not be scared to go where I need to go to do what I need to do for him. I guess there's no real question in this, what I'm doing right here, but thank you for never giving up. Because there was times that I was giving up. And I should have done more back then to give in to it. But, you know, we gotta learn our own way. But for those of y'all out there now that think you know what's right for you, I can tell you, when he gets ready to turn you around, you better hold on.
Yes.
Because he's going to make you louder than what I am. And that time's coming real soon. There's a lot of people that's fixing to get woke up. I believe that there is going to be a revival jubilee in our lifetime real soon. Mm-hmm. That's, you better make the right choice is all I got to say.
Yeah.
If he wakes you up, go ahead and make the right choice. If you're part of our family, blood related or just, you know, extended family that are friends, you know the right way. So go ahead and choose that way.
When Michael's talking about this, the thought that runs through my head is, in the scripture where it says there's no condemnation. Christ, I said that this morning in a different way. Christ was always looking for a ministry opportunity. Well, we're human. We make plenty of those available. And what we want to think about, though, is the disciples. Basically, they were chasing after Christ. They thought they knew what he should be doing, and he was always going and doing what he was supposed to be doing because he was about his father's business. And a lot of times he'd tell them, no, it's not going to happen that way. No, I'm not going to do it that way. This is what I'm here to do. This is who I'm here to minister to. And he didn't condemn the ones that were sinning. When he went to the well and the woman was there, he let her know what he knew about her. He told her he knew the sin that was in her life. Okay, you're living with the fifth husband, you know. But he never said, I give up on you. It's over. You're through. It's done. You know, when the woman with the issue of blood, all she wanted to do was touch his garment.
Right.
And when she touched it, and that energy went out of him to heal her, he knew it. And he stopped and said, "Who touched me?" Well, here's the thing. He's still doing that today. He's waiting on us to go and try just to touch, to get a just to feel. And when we do, he knows it.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's not a physical garment, it's the Holy Spirit.
Oh, yeah.
And when we do, he goes, okay. And like Michael's saying, you better get ready.
It's a whole different world.
It's something that now on Sunday mornings, when I walk in and Mama's in here and she's worshiping, and then Aunt Marie comes in and she's worshiping, and then Aunt Cindy comes in and she's worshiping. I used to see that, but I didn't get that. And now I get it, and I understand why.
Yeah.
But I see the effects of it. And that all goes back to Grandma standing around the sink, praying, whistling, singing, And occasionally, you would catch what she was praying for.
And usually it was somebody in the family.
Somebody in the family, somebody in the community.
In the community.
Whatever the case may be, she was making it a determined effort to make a difference through her prayer life.
Right.
And she passed it on. I mean, it's obvious today.
Yeah. And go ahead, Mom.
I just wanted to tell you, there's no greater love, you know, than our Father has for us. And that's how we as mamas do. We have that love for our children. And we don't give up. And
oh, it's the same way with me and the boys.
Right? I'm quite sure. And as we continue that great love, it won't die.
Right. Never give up.
Not if when we're living for.
That there's no
being sorry here.
that's why we do what we're doing. It's all, if you got anything that you want to say to anybody out there, or what you've been studying this week, or what have you been feeling? I know you've told us a few things that you've been feeling, but usually if I go over and visit, or you come over and you share something with me, it goes right along with a situation that I'm going through. And that's when I know that we're connected by the Holy Spirit. You usually have a good grasp on something that you've heard or read.
This Bible study is really good.
Well, when you read about the children of Israel, it brings into reality how bad we can mess up. I mean, too many times we cut ourselves off from God because we think that our situation is as bad as it could be, and that God couldn't love us because of that. Okay. But when you read in Exodus, where the children of Israel are complaining and grumbling, and he's pulled them out of captivity, they've seen his hand heal armies for their protection, and they're still grumbling and complaining. It was funny, and I had never thought of it this way, but Terry Lee Cobble commentated on it, and she said, you know, they wanted their carbs and their meat. They asked for it. And he said, okay, I'll give you manna from heaven, which literally means, like, what is it? But it tasted like honey, and it was kind of flaky like a dough. And then quail in the evening. And he told them, okay, on the day before the Sabbath, I'm going to send double. Go gather it. But on the Sabbath, I'm not sending any, because you're going to have double the day before. And in the scripture, it tells us that on the Sabbath, there were some of them that went out to look for it. It shows us how that no matter where we're at, what we're doing, there's no way we could be, in my opinion, any further down the road of going against what God's telling us to do than the children of Israel. And so, you know, that's what, to me, studying and hearing different people, and then when you go to read, it's almost like I'm reading through a different set of lenses. And then with commentary, with people in a group discussing it, the Holy Spirit uses that so that it's almost like what you were saying, playing catch up now. Well, you're doing that, but it's in a way in where you don't feel like you're cramming for a test, you know. Right. And then you walk into the test and you bomb it because you're so brain dead from trying.
Right.
It's one of those things where now you're invigorated, you're empowered with so much more knowledge than, to me, if you just sat down and said, I'm going to read the Bible.
Yeah.
You know? And then you hear Aunt Marie talk about it. You hear Julie talk about it. You read what people are posting in the threads of the daily, you know, and you start going, wow.
And it's different. But different people see it differently.
Right.
And it's the same word.
Exactly.
You know?
That's a living word.
It's just amazing to me.
It hits us in the level that we're at.
Right.
In the word.
Right.
Mama can get something out of it that I don't get. I get something out of it that you don't get. You know, it's just.
And we can't be offended if others don't see it the way we see it.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
Because God is God, and He knows what we need.
Well, and the situation in my life, the situations that I've been through trained me for something totally different than what you.
Right.
Yeah. And that's when reading, it's going to be different, a different view in each verse.
Yeah.
Well, and yet the same. Verse,
but still the same.
Yeah. Well, it's the word. And that's what we've got to understand. It's the word.
Jesus.
That's it. And as we sit around and talk about it, we're fortunate in our family that that's common.
Yeah.
It's the norm. You know, songs. If you are interested, just go and join our Telegram, because there's not many days that go by that there's not a song that's put on there, and somebody says, boy, that's just what I needed.
Or I was just thinking about
it. Yeah.
Like my sister Mavis put on the just before we came on here. It was a good song.
Let's see what it was.
Yeah.
And that's where we have to communicate. We have to let our guard down and not be so super sensitive as humans, but allow the word to reach us with the different ones that are doing. So what did Mama put on there?
Word of God speak.
Yeah.
Mercy me.
Mercy me. Word of God speak. And boy, does it. Here, we're going to play a little bit of it. We're going to try.
Finding myself at a loss for words. Everything is okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear you would say.
Okay, so that was just coming through my phone, through my microphone, because I guess I didn't connect to the board.
but that's what, if we can get to the place where we understand that the word, the scripture that was written, it can speak to us today better than it did 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago. It's amazing what we start seeing. And today, reading in Haggai, where he's saying, build the temple. Rebuild the temple. You've spent more on yourselves, your houses, your finer things, your food, your drink, than you have on my temple.
Right.
go out and do this. And I brought this up in church, but think about Haggai saying that to those people. That wasn't the popular thing that people wanted to hear. But out of the abundance that God had provided, they built the temple. And I'm sure we're going to revisit this, and we're going to talk about how much abundance there was. How many tons of gold? How many tons of silver?
Yeah.
There hasn't been anything ever built like it. Not in, you know, I mean, yeah, we spend billions of dollars on structures today, but the ornateness, the value of what was built with that much gold and silver and fine precious stones materials. But it started with them going out and sawing the trees, cutting the timber. Well, that's how Grandpa built the farm. He had to cut some timber. How do we know? Because the barn up there still has the poles.
Yeah.
It still has the posts. The timbers are there. That's what's inside that house.
Yep.
You know, and we can see that if we trust in God, if we seek after God, He's going to provide everything and more out of His abundance than we ever could out of our own pockets.
Well,
we have to seek.
Seek.
Search. Aim. Mm-hmm. I like the Amplified Bible because it tells us that.
Mm-hmm.
And not just to seek.
It expounds search. Upon it. Yeah.
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 So, where are we at?
We're at an hour and 3 minutes.
So, did you think that you'd be sitting here for an hour with us?
No.
And we did take care of her. We put her in a good chair.
Yeah.
So that she would be comfortable.
Yep.
But yeah, it's been good. It's always good when we get together, but it's good to get in here. And
interesting.
Well, we'll close in prayer tonight. Dear Lord, we just thank You for this time. We thank You for the heart of a mother that shaped so many people. Because of the heart of her mother. We just pray that You would continue to allow us to do this, to get together, to share what You're doing, what You've done, and how it affects us. We thank You for Aunt Marie, for the love she gives. We just pray that You would continue to show us, to add to, these groups that we're putting into with Bible reading and podcast and other things. We just pray that You would make avenues for that to reach out to people that are in search of You, that we could just be a part of that process. We pray that You would keep us safe, keep us healthy until we come back together, in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Thank you, Mama, for being here with us. We love you.
Love y'all, and I enjoyed it.
And you're going to have to come back. And you might have to bring Libby or Susanna with you.
Yeah.
So we can let Susanna share her stories and testimonies.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.